I realized I hadn't introduced myself. Hi, Steve Rust. If you haven't figured that out by now. This has been a true pleasure to get to know Ryan with us. He's been with the team almost a year now. We're almost on that, which seems like a long time ago, and sometimes it seems just like yesterday. But the one thing that I can tell you is Ryan has truly embraced the ethanol message. And this means a lot to him. Obviously, winning on the track is foremost to him. But very, very close second to that is for him understanding that being the driver for our car brings much more to the table than just how fast you can make left turns at. So this is an opportunity for him. Ryan obviously has been doing very well. He was the highest placed rookie this year at the Indy 500. So sixth place. 2 weeks ago at Texas, Ryan was running in the top five most of the race. Five laps from the end, he tried to pass Mr. Marco Andretti, and Marco Andretti didn't like that, so he kind of made it tough on Ryan, and they bumped wheels, and that was the end of the day. The interesting thing is, if Ryan had got around Marco, Scott Dixon would have ran out of fuel, and the team ethanol car would have won the race. So this is testament from what Ryan's done here in these last few weeks of his driving ability, and his messaging is very important to us. And so, as I said one time, that I caught him off guard when I said this the first time. He's number 17 in the program, but number one in our hearts, Ryan Hunter Ray.
Well, how's it going? Good. Thanks for coming out. Obviously, this is a dream come true for me to represent ethanol in Iowa at the home race for us. You know, this has been a big event for us since I got on with the program last year in July. Iowa always had a big asterisk next to it. So I'm glad this weekend's finally come. You guys got robbed of a qualifying session tonight. We really got robbed of a qualifying session tonight. We had a top five car for qualifying, I believe. And now we're going to start 14th because of the issue that happened last week in Texas. It's all off of points now. So, and as Steve was saying, last week we were going for hopefully a win there, if not a second place at Texas, and things didn't end up so well. Marco pinched me down onto the line, but that's hurting again today because of the point situation. We would have been 6th in points, now we're 14th in points. So it is what it is. That's racing. That's how it goes. But, you know, today we were really hoping to get out there, and we have a really strong car, and we need a great result here in Iowa. So to do it in front of everybody at ethanol, and trust me, I know how many people this takes to put this whole thing together. It's been amazing when I go when I speak on behalf of ethanol, and when I go to different functions, it's amazing how many different people make this whole thing click. And it's a very well-run organization, not only the race team, but ethanol in general, and the movement itself, it's getting more power. Obviously, we've got a lot of bad press, and there's a lot of things that we have to fight on a regular basis. It's more propaganda from big oil than anything else, but we have to fight that. And you know, fighting on the grounds of motorsports is a great way to do it too. Not just through race results, but through speaking and through coming out and talking to the people that actually put the fuel in their pump, in their fuel tank. So I get out there and you know, we take the time every race we go to, pretty much we go to speak to these pump tours, we call them, where they give a break in fuel prices, and I get out there and I speak to them about, hey, this is what it's about, this is what the real deal is. I mean, you guys probably know better than anybody the rumors and the unbelievable stuff that people will believe about ethanol. So it's unique for me to be able to be an IndyCar driver, but also be at the front of a movement as powerful as this, and certainly this is a huge solution to our current energy crisis. And not only that, from a selfish point of view, ethanol has been huge in the IndyCar. You know, we switched from methanol to ethanol, and it's been massive for us. It's, you know, we were able to get better fuel mileage, which allowed us to shrink the fuel cell, which made the cars lighter. We burn cleaner fuel now. We gained actually low range torque on the motor, so it's been all pluses across the board, and it's been a great activation. It's been a huge honor for me to be the ethanol IndyCar driver. That's a unique position in the series. So I know this the great results are coming soon. This is the best ever time to be at IndyCar races for this ethanol car, because good things are going to happen. They are happening. Last weekend we almost won Indianapolis. We went from 20th to 6th. we've had some great runs, and it's only going to get better from here. We're working really, really hard, and this car is going to be up where it deserves. It is up where it deserves, and it will be up where it deserves, and hopefully we'll get a win out of this thing soon. So I just want to thank everybody for coming out. I want you to know that it's an honor for me. I seem sometimes kind of rushed when I'm out there on the grid, because there's so much that goes into making one of these cars fast, and when I'm thinking about a million different things at once, you know, that is my office down there in the racetrack, and when I'm thinking about a million different things, sometimes I'm not as switched on as I should be to everybody that's here. But, you know, trust me, I do appreciate it. I really do appreciate everybody out here. We'll give you a good show tomorrow, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you guys have any questions, that's probably the easiest way for me to get some of your stuff answered here. So if you have a question, I can, you know, anything off the hip. What's my favorite food? No, I'm joking.
Why did they put the cars back in the transport?
Oh, you just can't trust anybody. That's the problem. Yeah, it comes down to that, you know. At Indy, they leave them in the garages. And there, the security systems are amazing. I got my bike stolen there, but their security systems are amazing, and they'll lock them up at night, and they have guards there all night long. So, but here, no, it's, you know, you can never trust it. So they roll it right back in there and leave it in the transporter. Good question, though. There's got to be some in here. Got to be. There you go.
What do you think about that?
The unification's been awesome. Every track we go to, even compared to last year, you can feel the hype and the added interest in the series. It's really neat time in open wheel racing, and it's only going to get better. It's a very exciting time. I'm definitely proud to be an IndyCar driver right now, you know, and we're on the up. You know, NASCAR is staying where it is, and we're on the up. So it's good to be a part of something that's on the up, and I think it's only going to get better. You know, the one thing's for sure, if you come out to an IndyCar series race and you see one, they're usually great races. They're high energy, great races. You know, NASCAR races I can usually take a nap to, but these things are pretty exciting. And I am, trust me, I've driven NASCARs. I'm not, you know, bagging on any of the NASCAR stuff, but these things are pretty hard to drive, and they put on a great show. And that's one thing that we have going for us. So. I started racing karts when I was 12. I was lucky enough. My dad actually made the mistake of buying me a go-kart in the neighborhood, and I almost crashed it into a few cars. They almost ran into me. They almost run me over. So I got onto a racetrack running go-karts, and I was lucky enough, you know, that my dad took the time to take me to different racetracks, and it kind of built from there, and I got some sponsors and built it up. And then I won some national championships in karting and got into the Skip Barber Racing Scholarship System. The Skip Barber series is a school. It's a Skip Barber Racing School. Anybody can go to it, but at the time they had the karting scholarship, so that really got me into racing and into racing cars, was this karting scholarship. So they took four of the best karters in the country and sponsored them through racing, and it's just like the farm leagues in baseball. You just go up through the notches, and next thing I was in Barber Dodge Pro Series, and then on to Atlantics, Formula Atlantics, and then on into Champ Cars, and then into Indy Cars. And obviously you have to win at every level you're at. It's just like anything else to get to the next level. So that's the gist of it, really. And in the past couple seasons, I was racing. You know, I raced everything from the Baja 1000 down in Mexico to Daytona Prototype sports cars and the Daytona 24 Hours, and did a lot of testing for GM and NASCAR. So I've got around the different cars, and that was one of the most crucial parts of my career, was getting into these different cars that I wasn't very comfortable in and adjusting my driving style. So it was a neat time in my career. That was immediately followed by this ethanol IndyCar drive.
Any other questions?
Anybody? Oh yeah, my mom's a nervous wreck when she comes to the track. She might as well not even come. I don't know why she does. She looks at the ground the whole time. And then when she's at home, she just chops celery the whole time. So. And my dad comes to a couple races. The good thing about the series now is that you can watch everything on video and live timing. So you have it real time in your living room or in your bedroom or whatever, wherever you're watching it on your computer. So you can see everything.
Oh,
Bobby's great to work for. I mean, he's a The unique part is that he's a past IndyCar champion. He knows what I'm feeling on the track. So when I come in and say, hey, the car did this over this bump behind this car, he knows what I'm talking about. Whereas other owners would be like, well, that's not what it looked like on TV. You know, he knows what I'm going through, and he knows he has a lot of advice for me. I have to pull it out of him a little bit more sometimes, but he has advice for me on so many levels that have helped, and it's very unique to have an owner of a racing team that you drive for, like Bobby Rahal. So it's very cool. There was one other one over here.
Would you say you've gone much further than needing to learn anything on oval? You had an amazing year on oval. This year, what did Indy? And looking at what you did last week, it was just an amazing race. And tomorrow's going to be excellent. You have some road courses coming up, but there's a real good string of road courses between now and the end of the season. What are your thoughts on those coming up?
Well, my history has come from road courses. That's where I started racing, and karts was on the road courses and everything. But obviously, open wheel racing in America, you race a lot of ovals, especially in the IndyCar series. So I've done a lot of racing on these ovals. The track layout isn't the hardest thing to get used to on the ovals. It's the racing in the packs that's hard to get used to. When these cars are behind each other, right behind each other, and you're following somebody. The cars are so dependent on these wings. You can see the car in the middle of the table there. The wings are, they produce almost twice the car's weight and downforce at full speed, so it could drive on the ceiling. And when you get behind another car, it disturbs all that air, and that's the hardest part, is controlling a car that's a little bit out of control in traffic. So that's the hardest part about the ovals. Now, the road courses, we had a lot of success in those last year. We qualified in the top five. We had, unfortunately, some mechanical failures to nobody's fault on the teams or anything else. It was just these freak accidents that would happen. Not accidents, but freak issues that would happen on the car that would retire us from the races. But we were qualifying in the top five, and we qualified at sixth in St. Pete. We were fourth with like three laps to go and ran out of ethanol, unfortunately. That won't happen again. And the ethanol car running out of ethanol, that's not very good. And then the last race, the next road course is Watkins Glen. And that'll be a great race for us. We're very strong on the road courses, so that's a good thing. A lot of these teams that are racing well in the ovals, I can't say a lot of them, but there's a few that are up there on the ovals that won't be up there on the road courses, and we'll be strong on both. Anybody else? Go ahead. Well, I've been doing it for so long that it's, you know, I say for so long. I'm 27 years old, but that's the only thing I've ever done is race, you know, pretty much. And I just, I'm good at shutting everything off and getting into my place before the race. And once my helmet goes down, you know, you can be nervous and all. It's a unique thing about me, and I think it is with some other drivers, is you could be nervous, like before the Indy 500, 500,000 people going crazy in the stands right there, and everything's happening. Man, the jets fly over, and you're chest is tight and your heart's going and everything else. But once you put on the helmet and you get in the car, you pull down the belts and everything, and then when the car fires up, it's all business. All that stuff goes away. And I don't try to make that happen, but it's just it all happens, and I think it's just happened naturally over the years. Anybody else? I've got to pull these out of you. Well, the track here, that's a good thing, definitely. The track here is, it's a fun track to be on. It's interesting because it's so short, and the package we're running here is not what you're seeing on the table. Those cars on the table have a super speedway package on them with the very small wings. We have really big wings here. The car is very stuck on the ground, and that creates an issue with passing here. The only time we're really going to be able to pass is when cars have issues with other cars on the track. You can't just pass on outright speed here, which is unique to this racetrack. There may be one or two others that we have in the whole season where this happens. So I don't want to say there'll be a little bit stale for a while. It could be. With 26 cars, it won't be, that's for sure. But at the front, it might turn into a bit of a procession for a while until things really heat up. You just can't get around the cars. And that's the one downside to this track. I think we should tweak the downforce settings from the league to make it better racing that way. But we have a fast race car. We should be qualified in the top five right now. Looking forward to a beautiful day tomorrow, which it will be. Nice, 81 degrees it's supposed to be, and that's what the Weather Channel says. And now we're going to be starting 14th, and trust me, I can I'll move my way up there pretty quick. But it's gonna take some pretty interesting maneuvers to get by some of these guys. So this track, to sum it up, not the best place in the world you want to start, you know, mid pack, but we'll get it done.